the things that need to be dealt with in the earth. It says here, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Romans chapter 1, verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, they are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving. Tremendous. Tremendous. Unforgiving, unmerciful. Who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. My word! What a list of calumny. What a list of things that destroy and break down, that hurt, that have sharp edges. What a list of things. And every one of them comes into the world through men, through people like you and me. What a tremendous state of affairs if a holy God should allow this to continue without rebate, without any turning aside from it. What tremendous things would result for this world. What monstrosities would we create? What terrible things. I said to you last week when I spoke to you that God doesn't have to lift a finger to destroy the world. All He need do is leave it to men. If He left it to men, they'd do the job all by themselves. We're busy doing it. We're destroying this beautiful world on which we're living. And greed is the master of the world. People want more and more and more, and the world cannot sustain it. The world cannot give what men are demanding. The world is not big enough. It's become too small to meet the needs, the rapacious needs of men. Too small to accommodate us. We've become too important in our own thinking, because we've left God out of it. It has been said that if man neglects God, it's not long before he begins to play God. And we're doing it. We're doing it. Come again with me to 2 Peter 3 and 3 to 13. 2 Peter 3 and 3 to 13. Here Paul is writing to Timothy and he says, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts. I believe that you've got to be blind if you don't know that we're tobogganing toward disaster. You've got to be blind. If you can't see around you the signs of the times, you've got to be totally blind. We're heading for the biggest trouble the world has ever faced. God warned us. God told us. He said, if sin prevails upon the earth, this is going to be the result. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. It will come to an end. And here God is saying, these people are doing these things. They mock. They mock. It says, knowing this first, the scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they are willingly forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth which are now exist are kept in store by the same word, reserved for fire, until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are therein will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? This is the other side of the coin. Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that the long-suffering of the Lord is salvation, as also our beloved Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written. They say, mockingly, where is the promise of His coming? This is the most gigantic event in world history. It is paralleled only by the first advent of Jesus Christ. It is the most important thing that's facing us right now. Jesus Christ is coming back again. He asks the question, when I return, will I find the faith in the earth? Will I find faithful people that are worshiping me? Because of all the things that are coming upon the earth, all the temptations, all the trials, all the difficulties, because of all these things, who will be serving me in the end? For he says, he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. These are the things that are facing us right now, beloved. And we need to understand where we stand. We need to understand where we stand. Jesus in Matthew 24 deals with this period of time very dramatically. He has tremendous things to say to this generation, to you sitting in your seat here this morning. Jesus has a message for you, for these times in which you are. What you should be doing and what you should be not be doing are recorded there for your benefit and for mine. So I want you to come with me to Matthew 24, if you will, right now. Matthew 24, speaking of end times. Blessed be the name of the Lord, which made the heavens and the earth, and is well able to keep them from total annihilation. He's able to do it. He's got the power. Can you imagine what power will be unleashed when the elements begin to melt with a fervent heat and the heavens roll up like a scroll and things begin to dissolve all around you? Can you imagine what power there is that will have to bring that to pass? And beloved, that's the power of Almighty God. It's the power of God that can go into reverse. It's the same power that can heal. It's the same power that can give life where death is reigning. It's the same power. And God wants us to understand it. He's saying to you and to me this morning, I've got the power. Jesus said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. And because that is in my hands, I command you to go in my name and make disciples of all nations. Go and work on my behalf. Put aside the other things that hinder, the things that get in the way. Set your goals and achieve them by the grace of God. Do it God's way, because the power is there. It's there. To many of us, it's latent. It's hanging in the air over our heads. And God is saying, where are the people that are asking for it? Where are the people that are believing for it? For there were great forces unleashed in the earth, and there are great powers that are there from God to oppose them. Can you say amen to that? God wants us to oppose everything that the devil is doing. And if the devil is mighty, our God is mightier. He's more powerful by far than anything that the devil can do. Jesus speaks in Matthew 24. They come to Him. His disciples come to Him. Says, Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and His disciples came to Him to show Him the buildings of the temple. Jesus said to them, do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say unto you, not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now, as He sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to Him privately. Understand that. They came to Him privately, saying, tell us. Jesus speaks in Matthew 24 almost entirely to believers. He says, take heed. Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. Or wait a minute. First of all, let me give you the three things. It says, now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us three things. When will these things be? That's the throwing down of the temple. And what will be the sign of your coming? The second thing. And the end of the age. Three things. That's what Jesus Christ is answering in Matthew 24. So they say, tell us. Tell us. We want to know. He's not talking to the world here. He's talking to disciples. He's talking to you and to me. And so they say, tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Only Matthew mentions this, the end of the age. The others don't. The other Gospels, that is. This was a private discussion between believers. The leader speaking to his disciples, to his followers, and giving them instructions, believers only. And he says this. He says his disciples came to him. Matthew 24, from the world point of view, is not discussed. There are only a few verses that Jesus gives to the world view. He's giving it from the Christian point of view, the Christian's perspective. This can be seen, as I've said, from the language. In verse 4, he says, take heed that no one deceives you, my believers. Verse 5, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of war. See that you are not troubled. Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There'll be famines and pestilences, and there will be earthquakes in diverse places. These things are all happening around you right now. You're in the midst of them. It's not something that you have to look forward to. It's happening every single day. We know that we've got a crisis on our hands in the Middle East. This is predicted. The Middle East will be the flashpoint for the last world war, the Armageddon war, the consummation of the tribulation as I see it. That's going to come. And things are moving into gear to bring them to pass. And God is orchestrating it. God says, I'm going to do it because I'm going to have the final say in the world. I'm going to be the one that says the last word. So in verse 9 he says, then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. In the tenth verse he says, many will be offended. That's believers. Many believers will be offended because iniquity shall abound. And it says they shall betray one another. In verse 12, he says, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many, that is Christians, the love of many for God will grow cold. These are all signs of what's going to happen. Tell me something. Do you think that Christianity is flourishing in the world, or do you believe that Christianity has grown cold? You believe that there are many that were serving God at one time that are not serving Him today. Many. If you look at statistics about church attendance in America and in England, you'll find that there's been a dramatic drop. Tremendously. People have turned aside from the faith. That doesn't mean to say that God's not working and bringing others in. But I'm telling you that that's happened. In verse 13, it says, but he that endures to the end shall be saved. And the only end that is mentioned in Matthew is the end of the age. And it says, he that endures to the end, that is the end of the age, he shall be saved. That one shall be secure in the hands of God. Verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. After this has been done, after the gospel has been preached, the end will come. Verse 21, for then there will be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. Verse 27 says, and unless those days are shortened, no flesh would be saved, believers and unbelievers alike. And for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. The tribulation will reach such heights as to threaten all life on earth, animal or otherwise, so that no flesh will be able to survive. Beloved, what we're doing to our world is leading there. The ozone layer has opened wider now than it has ever done before. People are being warned to stay out of the sun because this causes cancer. And the ozone layer is growing. We've got an ice cap melt that's going on right now, and this is causing floods in the world. We've got things happening today in the cosmic region that are terrible. People are being faced with tremendous things. People, there is trouble everywhere. There are many Christians that are paying for their Christianity right now with their lives. Many of them. It's happening. And we need to understand that these are all the signs of the times that we're living in. So, and unless those days be shortened, no flesh should be saved. Verse 23, then if anyone says to you, here is Christ, or there is Christ, do not believe it. Verse 26 says this, if they say, look, he is in the desert, do not go out, or look where he is in the inner chambers, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. That is tremendously spectacular. You stand outside, particularly on an evening, and watch the lightning flash from the east to the west. Let me tell you something. That's spectacular. Jesus says, that's how I'm going to be coming. Every eye shall see me. It will be spectacular. It will be a tremendous occurrence that's going to take place. Not just the suddenness, beloved, that he's talking of here, but the visual is strongly stated so that the secret aspect is refuted. You can't do something like that in a hole in the corner. The only time in Matthew 24 that Jesus addresses the world point of view is found in 37 to 40. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as the days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving marriage, until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. That history is going to repeat itself again. There's going to be a generation that will not listen. They will not hear anything of the gospel. Noah preached the word. They didn't listen to the word. They stood aside from the word. They wouldn't have the word. Do you understand? And that's the reason why they were taken by surprise. Because they were not ready. They didn't listen to the word of God. We've got to prepare ourselves for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is being emphasized here is the suddenness with which destruction comes upon all who were not prepared, who knew not. Not the suddenness with which the believers are saved. The evil were removed, for when the flood was over, they were the only ones, the believers were the only ones that were left. They had gone through the flood. They were not taken out of it, but were taken safely through it. So, to emphasize the suddenness of this destruction, Jesus said in verse 40, then two will be in the field, the one will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Verse 42 says, watch therefore, for you do not know when the Lord cometh. Luke 31 and 34 says, and take heed to yourselves, that your hearts be not weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this world, and that day come upon you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the earth. Wherefore, pray always that you may be worthy to escape these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Lord. Matthew 24 and 12 says, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will wax cold. Their experience will test them. These people are going through trial. They're standing for Christ under tremendous pressure. And if you're going to stand with Christ, you're going to stand under tremendous pressure. You're going to know forces coming against you that are tremendous. Satan knows that his time is short. And he wants to destroy everything that pertains to Jesus Christ. So we must stand. The way of escape is the rapture. Why does Jesus instruct believers on how to go through the tribulation if they're not going to be part of the tribulation? He speaks to them and tells them over and over again, these things are going to happen to you. So, beloved, I don't believe that we're going to be taken out of it. I believe that we're going to have to go through it. Revelation 7, 13 to 14 says, then one of the elders answered to me, who are these arrayed in white robes and where did they come from? And he said to him, sir, thou knowest. So he said to me, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation, that's according to the New King James Version, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Verse 17 says, for the Lord who is in the midst of those will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, tears caused by suffering, abuse, and even death by persecution. That's what Jesus Christ is going to do. The final salvation, you see, the Bible says that we're not going to escape trouble. We're not going to escape it. We're going to go through it, and that's going to be the final test of our Christian faith. Where do we stand? Do we really love Jesus Christ? It says in Matthew 24, 29 and 31, listen to this, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven and the powers of heaven will be shaken. That's the last stages of the tribulation. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, all unbelievers. They will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven and with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with the great sound of the trumpet, and they will gather his elect from the four winds of heaven to the other. But the message of Matthew 24 is given unto us, that we might go according to it. Praise the name of the Lord. Jesus Christ is going to come to restore everything upon the earth. He's going to do it. That's within his power. You remember how that years ago there was the man Elisha who was God's prophet. God's anointing was upon the man. And there was the Syrian king who was opposing Israel. And every time he set a trap for the Israelitish king, the prophet told the king in his bedchamber what was being discussed in the other quarters. And the Syrian king came to the point where he was grieved, and he said, "Listen here. Which of you counselors with whom I'm discussing keeps on telling the king of Israel the things that I'm discussing in secret?" And they said, "No, not one of us. There's nobody doing that. But he's got a prophet. He's got a man who hears from heaven. A man who knows his God. And everything that you say here, he just records it to his king." And the king said, "Get that man at any price. I want him." And he sends an entire army to come and capture this man, Elisha. And Elisha's in Dothan. And Dothan was to have been the end of the road. It was to have been the place where he would end it all. And so they go to bed that night. And the next morning when they wake up, his servant looks out through the window and gets the shock of his life. He doesn't understand why it is. Because how important is he really? Because he sees all around, every window that he looks through, he sees glinting spears. There's a huge army on the mountains all around. And the man is horrified. This is the end. He grabs his head and he says, "This is the end. There's nothing more that we can do. And I want to tell you on our own, there's nothing more that we can do. There's nothing that we've got that the world needs. Let me tell you, it's what we've got of Jesus Christ that the world needs. Not what we've got. It's not your ability, it's your availability that God wants. That's the thing that counts." And this man comes to the point where he says, "What can we do? What shall we do?" are the words that he uses. "What shall we do? We're hopeless, we're outnumbered, there's nothing we can do." The prophet of God prays. And he says, "God, open his eyes. Let him see. Let him see what is there. That which is just outside the sight of the natural man. Let him see what there is. Let him see the resources of God. Let him see how big they are." And suddenly God opens that man's eyes and he is amazed. All around the mountains there is a great host of the army of the living God. I wonder what they look like. I think he was all inspired. Because suddenly he sees they're not surrounded, but the Syrian army is surrounded. They're not at a disadvantage. The army that's opposing them is at a disadvantage because God is in the thing. And beloved, the devil wants to destroy this world. He wants to destroy everything that God ever made. And God is on the other side and he's saying it will never be. "I yet have chosen Jerusalem." It is the city of the great king. He will sit there. That's why God will preserve it. Jesus is coming. He's going to stand upon the Mount of Olives, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof. General Allaby was a geologist before he went to the First World War and was in Palestine. And as a geologist, he forbade any building on the Mount of Olives because there's a natural fissure running through and it can crack at any time. And the Bible says that when Jesus returns, he'll stand on the Mount of Olives, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof, and there shall be a very great valley there. God is going to change the geography of the world. It's going to come. There are going to be tremendous things in the offing. And there are fearful things that are going to happen in the offing. But beloved, there are more wonderful things that are coming. Hallelujah. God is going to pour out of His Spirit. And the time is now. The time is ready. The time is for us to reach out and touch the hand of God, so that the power might flow into your life, into your home, into your circle, in the area where you're working, so that the word you speak will have power such as it's never had, so that your testimony will count like it has never done before, and you can pray for the sick and God will give healing for you. These things are in the offing. Oh God, open the eyes of the church. Oh God, open our eyes that we may see, that we may understand all these resources that God has given to us, so that we may begin to use the storehouse of God Almighty. That we may begin to use what He has provided. The difficulty is that we're not using it. It's lying there. It's lying there. It's not being used. God wants us to use it. He wants us to get up as an army. Remember Ezekiel, how that there was the valley of the dry bones. You remember. Remember Brother Quillifon preaching on the valley of the dry bones. He says, God said, bone, come to his bonnet. And the bones began to move. And the one bone came to his bone. Boy, they knew exactly where they had to go. Oh, hallelujah. They knew where they belonged. There were thousands of bones, but they came. Each one knew exactly to which body it belonged. And eventually there was a whole skeleton army lying there. And God says to the servant of God, breathe, speak, speak.
As we were praying at the beginning of the meeting, the Lord gave me a word. But just before I give you that word, and you really need to hear this in the context of the message that Neil has just brought, I shared with you last Sunday that I'd been on three-day fasts, and that I'd been up the previous night, and I'd been searching the internet just to see what the body of Christ was saying about the fulfillment of the end times. And I shared with you too that there was a broad consensus that people were expecting things to happen, and I believe many of us have discerned in the Spirit that this is so. But what I saw on the internet, and it's something that I think is known to most of us, is that the vast majority, and I do mean the vast majority, of the body of Christ is expecting the rapture to take place before the tribulation. And there are very few people who are prepared to have the boldness to do what our brother did this morning and stand up in a pulpit and say, we are going through the tribulation. We are not going to go out of here in some happy, clappy little goodbye world sort of thing before the rubber hits the road. The rubber is going to hit the road, and we're going to be on the road, and if we're not careful, we're going to be under the rubber, not on top of the rubber. And I really believe that one of the things that the Lord is really challenging every one of us about in this place today is not just to take the gospel of salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ to the world, but to take the truth of what Neil has preached today to the body of Christ.
Yes.
Because understand that if you think that you're going to be out of here in the twinkling of an eye before things get rough, you are not going to be in the place that you need to be to overcome to the end. And it is time that the body of Christ is told the truth.
Community church is a Pentecostal church that believes the gospel is the most important message for this and any other generation. I was therefore surprised to read a poster put out by the Mail and Guardian newspaper that the day of the Christian church is numbered. I do not believe that there is any power that can annul what Christ alone could do, and that this message of redemption must be declared to the ends of the earth. To this end, we are producing these tapes for distribution free of charge. If this one has been a blessing to you, please assist us by passing it on. We thank you for your cooperation. God bless you. If you have listened to this tape and it has made an impact upon your life and you realize your need, may I pray for you that Jesus Christ might enter your life and bring about the changes that are necessary. In Jesus' name, pray that God will move by His Spirit upon your life, that your whole future shall be colored by the fact that Jesus is alive and that He's alive and triumphant in your life. May God bless you and use you for His glory, for we need every mouth, we need every effort to bring the message across to those that stand in desperate need. God bless you. Amen.
Foundation for Living Community Church meets at the South African Foa Federasie Hall, Jack Hindon Street, Pretoria North. It is pastored by Neil Dreyer, an apostle of God, who can be contacted on 012-808-1650. Meetings are every Sunday at 9:30 in the morning at the SAVF Hall. Should you be led by the Lord to sow into this ministry, banking account details are as follows. Account name, N.J. Dreyer. Bank, First National Bank, Branch, Silverton. Account number, 510-3011-9874. Branch code, 2508-4500. You are free to copy these tapes without restriction and to distribute them as widely as you feel led. Please remember only that each of us is called to account on the Day of Judgment for what we do with the Word of God. Should you require additional copies of this tape, please contact me, James Robertson, on Johannesburg, that's 011-791-2327, or cell phone 083-251-6644, or fax 011-791-5004, or email jamesr@infodoor.co.za. That is jamesr@infodoor.co.za. And we will make arrangements to get copies of this tape to you. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make His face to shine upon you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Amen.